The eagle has landed.
You are about to embark upon the great crusade.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
I consider myself the luckiest man.
I have a dream today.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Hello, welcome to Speaking of History. My name is Eric Langhorst, and I am an 8th grade American history teacher in Liberty, Missouri. And you're listening to podcast episode number 159 of Speaking of History. And I'm recording this today on October 29th, 2008. And I'm currently in Seattle attending and presenting at the T+L conference. And if you haven't heard, we have an election coming up. It seems like we've been getting ready for this election for, I don't know, about 3 or 4 years. In 1 week, we'll go to the polls and elect our new president. And as an 8th grade history teacher, we've been talking about it in our classroom quite a bit. And I recently wrote an article for School Library Journal. It's the third article that I've written for the magazine. I really enjoy writing for them. And they asked me to write something about web resources that teachers could use to help their students learn more about the election process. And so I'm going to kind of talk about some of the links that I suggested. But I'd also encourage you to actually go to the online copy of the article. You can find it in the print edition of School Library Journal magazine, and it is in the September 2008 issue. Or I'm also going to provide the link on our webpage, and you can go to the webpage and click on the link and see the full text of the article as well. And again, the address for our blog is www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. But what I did was I took some different websites that I've used in the past for different election type things. And just to kind of to preface this, you know, these are things that you can use in non-election years as well. It's really easy to teach the election in a presidential election year because there's so much focus and media and attention placed upon it that our students also absorb all that media and they're talking about it even within, you know, their own groups of people, their own student groups. But these can also be used in an off-election year to kind of create that interest because three out of every 4 years, we don't have a presidential election to generate that interest. So these are some websites that I've used in the past, and we're currently deciding as an 8th grade, as 8th grade American history teachers in our own building, we're right in the middle of our Revolutionary War unit, and we really talked a lot about whether or not we wanted to kind of move things or kind of stop a Revolutionary War unit and then include our section on the electoral process, because we always cover it in about the fourth unit of the year. And right now we're in kind of unit two. And so we talked about it as a group, and what we decided to do was we're going to, you know, we continue to talk about it in current events, but we're not going to stop what we're doing and then bring in the election. We're going to go ahead and continue on our Revolutionary War unit, and then we're going to teach the election probably about, oh, maybe 3 or 4 weeks after the actual presidential election. But with so much attention being paid to it in current events and other things, I think our students will still get quite a bit out. So enough talk. I'm going to talk a little bit about the websites that we use. The first one is called Budget Hero. And I think this would be an excellent website for a high school government or civics class to use. It does have some kind of cartoony graphics, and it looks really cool. It's very graphically appealing, but it's not really something you could probably use with upper grade school students, maybe junior high students, depends a little bit on your individual students. But this website is from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the America Public Media. And what you do is you pretend that you're the president and you're trying to run the federal budget. And basically you have to make lots of decisions on how you're raising taxes and where you're spending the individual money. And it's a very complicated process, and that's really the point of the entire simulation for the students to understand, is that budgeting the entire federal budget is a really tough thing to do. So I would definitely check this out if you have a civics class, again, or a high school political class, possibly junior high, but it might be a little bit too advanced for some of your junior high students. The next one is one that we use all the time, whether it's an election or not, and that's CNN Student News. It is an excellent, excellent resource that brings in current events, and we don't show it every single day in our classroom. Depends a little bit on the schedule, but it is a 10-minute long news segment, and it's created every morning, like very early in the morning, like 3 or 4 o'clock, and it is available on CNN headline news on like cable broadcasts and stuff, again, at something like 3 or 4 in the morning, but it's also available on the webpage. And you can actually just watch it right on the webpage. There's video embedded. Or what we do is we actually subscribe to it as a video podcast. And the reason I like that method is I never have to worry about bandwidth issues. Every once in a while, if we're just playing the video off of the website, sometimes if bandwidth is an issue within our building, lots of people online, it'll freeze and things like that. If I download it first thing in the morning, I know that then all I have to do is pull that up and play it, and I don't have to worry about any of those possible issues. But Carla Zeus is the host. He's extremely funny, kind of humorous, has kind of a corny sense of humor like I do, and the students kind of like that. And one of the things I really like about CNN Student News is that it's written for students. And I use it with 8th graders, and there's a couple of things that probably go over the 8th graders' heads as far as, you know, some foreign policy things. But I really think you could use this with probably, I'd say maybe 5th or 6th graders, all the way through seniors in high school. And it has a really good mix of both things that are happening domestically and then also internationally. Because I think a lot of times our students never really get that perspective of what's happening overseas. And CNN definitely kind of sprinkles in those things that are happening around the world that students should be aware of. So I would definitely encourage you to watch that. Obviously, during the election, there's going to be lots and lots of coverage. They've got some really good stories in the last couple weeks. And as we get closer to the election, we'll probably watch it on a more regular basis in our classroom, and probably watch it almost every day. Kind of depends a little bit on our scheduling. The next website that I wanted to recommend is a political cartoon website, and it's pretty much the premier political cartoon site. If you're doing anything with students in political cartoons, you should check out Daryl Cagle's Professional Cartoonist Index. And he's got tons and tons of political cartoons updated on a daily basis. And you can do search by topic or by artist. So if you want to see all the political cartoons about, you know, for example, you know, Palin being selected as the vice presidential candidate, you're going to see all of those in one spot. Or if you want to see all the things about, oh, you know, baseball and steroids issue or whatever, it's not just political stuff as far as the election. This is available throughout the year, and it always takes like little sections of current events and then puts all the cartoons from that topic together. And there's actually a section on how teachers can use editorial cartoons in their classroom. They've got some great lesson plans there. They have one lesson plan about how to analyze a political cartoon. And so one thing that we do in our class when we talk about political cartoons is I have them take several cartoons and then analyze them using the same basic template for each cartoon. And what I've found in the past is that it really helps students learn about inference. And on our standardized tests, that's one thing that we really struggled with getting our students to understand. It's one thing to try and pull inference out of text, but students get the concept a little bit better if you have a political cartoon and an image that they can then kind of get deeper on. So I would definitely encourage you to check out this political cartoon index. It's probably the best one out there. I've done some searches in the past, and you know, basically I've quit searching for other ones because this one has everything that I need as a teacher. The fourth website that I would recommend is probably my favorite one, and it's the eElections online simulation game provided by Cable in the Classroom. It's a free game that you can play with your students or have your students play. And it's a flash-based game, kind of loosely based on a board game, but it's not necessarily a board game because it's all animated and things like that. But you can play it as a one-player or a two-player, and a lot of times I'll have my students play each other when they're in the lab, or the one person can play against the computer. And basically, you have to run for president. You have to create your platform. What issues do you believe in? You prioritize your issues on what things you're really going to stand up for during the election. And then decisions happen as you move through the game. So, for example, you might find out that there's been a scandal with your opponent. And then you have to decide, what are you going to do? Are you going to make a big deal about it? Are you going to ignore it? Are you going to have a press release? And then as you make those decisions, it goes back and it checks how you set up your platform. So, for example, if you say that you really want to be a green candidate and there's a fundraiser from, you know, the oil industry and you decide to go to that fundraiser, it's going to kind of knock off a little bit of your overall score and say, hey, you know, you can't contradict what you picked as your platform in the beginning. And it's got some really nice features as far as George Washington can be turned on, and it's kind of an animated character that kind of helps you make decisions along the way. You can turn that on or off if you want. There's videos. So, for example, if you come to, say, affirmative action, and you have to make a decision on whether you're for it or against it, and you're not really sure what affirmative action is, you can then go to a video, and they have video from C-SPAN and CNN, and it's going to be able to explain what affirmative action is. So it does really help you kind of along the way. And then if you don't finish the game, you can save it to that specific computer, and then you could come back the next day. So if students don't complete it in, say, a half-hour time period, as long as they come back to that specific physical computer, they can finish the game. And at the end, you can also have it print off your entire game, and it'll show all your different decisions and whether it was a good decision or a bad decision. And so if you had your students play this in a lab setting, they could then print that off and then turn it in. And then in the end, you could bring that back to the classroom and you could kind of evaluate, okay, why did you make this decision at this point? Or why was that a bad decision based on what policies you decided at the beginning of the game? So it's a really fun game to play. I've even had students go home and play their parents in the online game is a two-player game. So a lot of potential there. And we've used it for probably 3 or 4 years. If you haven't checked it out recently, they did update it. It's been about 10 months now that they've had the new update out, but they included some new topics and added some really new cool features. So I would definitely encourage you to check out the elections game. The fifth website that I wanted to recommend is called The Living Room Candidate. And this is a website from the Museum of the Moving Image. And basically what it shows you is videos from all the presidential campaigns from 1952 until 2004. So you can pull up an advertisement, for example, that was shown on TV to help Ike be elected. And my students always like the Ike ones because there's some like animated cartoon ones and things like that. But you can pull up videos specific to a particular issue, like taxes or defense, or they have one for like the common person, you know, showing what a common person's perspective is. We've had a lot of talk in the last couple weeks about Joe the Plumber and things like that. Well, how have candidates in the past use that same feature of pulling somebody just from, you know, middle class or the common person and then making them a part of the election ads? You can also look by year. You can search by the type of ad. So if you want to see just attack ads, or you want to see ads that, again, just feature a particular propaganda technique, you can search that way, or you can just search by candidate. So if you want to see all the ads that Ford had or all the ads that Carter had, you can go ahead and check those out. What I use this for is to have my students get kind of an idea of what election ads have been like in the past. And then during our Civil War unit, they create a TV ad for Abraham Lincoln. So they kind of get an idea for what TV ads look like for candidates. And then they create their own ad in kind of an historical approach in trying to get Abraham Lincoln elected in 1860. So really fun. They've got some teacher lesson plans and things on the website as well. But it's just a really cool site to kind of give your kids some examples, but then also let them look around themselves and find out what presidential campaign ads have been in the past. All right, the sixth website is called Select a Candidate, and this is by American Public Media. And a lot of times as eighth graders, my students come into the classroom, and they pretty much support whoever their parents support and, you know, whoever is popular at home. What this website does is it asks students or whoever is at the website to answer key questions on issues, and then it shows you at the end where your score is as far as what candidate you actually support based on your answers to those questions. And it is based on things that people have actually said in speeches and where they stand on policies and stuff. And even if it's not 100% correct, and you know, you might look at an outcome and say, well, why is that? It does give you the actual rationale of why it picked that candidate based on what you answered. And it's a great discussion starter, if anything, you know, because, you know, have your students predict ahead of time where, you know, what candidate do they believe in, and then have them answer the questions and then see if it's different. And some students might be really surprised when they actually go issue by issue on where they stand when you put all that stuff together. So that's called Select a Candidate. And the last one is called 270 to Win. Of course, you need 270 electoral college votes to be declared the winner of the presidential election. And so this one is basically devoted to teaching people about the Electoral College. And it has an interactive map with results all the way from 1789 until the present. So, for example, you could pull up the election of, 2000 and say, okay, what if we change just a couple states as far as the outcome? And then it'll show you the totals on the bottom, and it updates with each one that you pick. And you can manipulate any election in history and kind of, play devil's advocate. What if this happened? What if that happened? It also gives what they call the most current polling data on where states might actually fall. So we're going to look at this page, actually, when we get back to school here at the end of the week, and kind of see where the polling data is. And then we can do a comparison with the way things are in the week leading up to the election and what actually happens on election night. It's also a great website if you have a smart board or one of the interactive whiteboards, because you can manipulate the boards just by touching it. So you can have the current map up of the current data and say, okay, this is where the Electoral College is. If Obama wins Ohio, let's go ahead and make McCain win Ohio and then turn it around and see how it changes. And you could do things with your students like, okay, say there's three states that change that are toss-up states. What three states would be toss-up states? So there's all kinds of different things you can do. And with the whiteboard, you can have your students come right up there and manipulate it and change it. And I always give them lots of scenarios. What if this happened? What if that happened? What's the least number of states you could win and still be elected president and stuff like that? So, again, these are all websites you can use in non-election years. And I use these in non-election years to really create that interest and that buzz with my students. And if you have any websites that you really like to use or you have been using throughout the electoral process this year, go ahead and leave a comment on the blog and let some other people know about what websites you're using. Or you can email me directly at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what other teachers around the country are using. So as we get ready for the election next week in Missouri, we feel like we're kind of a swing state. We feel like we're kind of still in play a little bit. And one of the neat things about the state of Missouri is that since 1904, the person that's carried Missouri has won the election every year except for one. And that was back in the 50s with Stevenson, and he's from Illinois, and he kind of got some support from especially people in St. Louis with the proximity to Illinois and stuff. But we've been known as the bellwether state because, again, for basically 100 years plus, the way that Missouri's gone, the rest of the nation's gone. So we've got a lot of people campaigning in our area. We've had Joe Biden came to Liberty just a couple weeks ago on a pretty steady basis within the last two or three weeks. We've had, Obama and McCain come in and the VP candidates and things. So it's been pretty interesting in Missouri. And I know our students are anxiously awaiting for the election night and to see the results. And it's just a great teachable moment for every teacher, regardless if you teach communication arts or math or whatever. There's so many applications to the election, and with it being on everybody's minds and everybody talking about it, it's a great teachable moment. So thank you for listening. And again, go ahead and check out the website. We'll have links to all these different sites. And I hope you have a great night, and we'll talk again soon. The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst in Liberty, Missouri, under a Creative Commons license. Visit the website for show notes and links to material in the podcast at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. The podcast is also available on iTunes. Please email all comments and questions to speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Background music for the intro is Z from James Underberg from PodSafe Audio. Thanks for listening.